Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I want to read from verse 22 on through verse 41 of this particular chapter. And again, we always like to put a title to the message. And I want to just speak to you on words to be saved by this morning. Words to be saved by. It's in our text, and we'll see it as we read through. Acts chapter 2, begin reading with verse 22, and reading on through the remainder of the chapter, which is verse 41. Let's take just a moment and pray. Father, again, it's my privilege to stand in this place and to preach this morning, and I pray that you'll help, enable, bless, that we might look into this passage and above all else glorify Jesus Christ, present the way, the truth, and the life. Honor Him who loved us and died for us. Encourage folks this morning, including this preacher. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And what a tremendous testimony the Apostle Peter is giving here to a people that had just recently crucified the Lord. They're now stricken in their heart. And certainly they then began to cry out, "What are we to do?" And this man, Peter, gives this group of people words to be saved by. That's what he said and what he points out here. He said in our first verse that we read this morning that these are words. Words of the Lord. Hear, if you please, these words. Begins to introduce Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, as he's presented to us here in our text. Christ has been crucified. I want you to know that this preacher and this church dismisses all theories of a near-death experience. Jesus Christ died that day on the cross of Calvary. It was not a near-death experience. It was a death. It was a death that we understand that was a brutal death. But yet it was a death that was an atonement. I always love to quote John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that Lamb would be slain just as the Old Testament Passover Lamb was slain. Christ was buried, taken down from the cross and placed in a grave. And He arose and has appeared to these 12 and others. Now we're talking about a 50-day span of time after His death and resurrection. And the Spirit of God came on this particular day. And such a movement and a stir in the city of Jerusalem as this occurs. And there was varied opinion. Some said these folks are drunk. Others seem to think this must just be imagination. But I present to you that it was a glorious experience that was intended to be carried out for Peter. It said, "This is the words of the prophet being fulfilled before you today. This is what Joel the prophet had prophesied." Now in this text, as Peter then begins to develop this particular message, points out that there is a plan of salvation for the age. In verse 21 of our text, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now in that verse just preceding the text that we read, he established the plan of salvation for the age, and it's involved in Jesus Christ and a matter of embracing Him in faith. "For whosoever should call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Apostle Paul used the same expression in the book of Romans chapter 10. After he has dealt with the issue of a nation that is a religious nation but lost because they have not embraced the truth of the person of Jesus Christ, his cry from the depths of his soul was, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Began then to point out he was bearing record of them, that they had a zeal of God but not according to knowledge. He then comes down to embrace the same message that is presented here, for he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then he summed it up or presented in what I would call a dramatic conclusion to the particular thought of salvation in verse 13 of Romans 10. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And let me say that this is not putting salvation in just a rote prayer. Tragically, we have reduced it to that today in many circles and think that as long as we can get somebody to pray a little old prayer that they're saved. But that's not what he's saying. But he has given us the plan of salvation for this age. And it involves one that we call upon and that cry of a desperate heart that is in great need. And God will respond to that desperate heart that's in great need when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So the plan of God for this age is that whosoever, I don't know the whosoever's, you don't know the whosoever's, except to know this, I look back with hindsight, I was that whosoever. There was a day in my life when I was privileged to call upon the name of the Lord, and I walked out of a church building with a peace in my heart, and satisfaction in my mind that I had never known before. And I recommend it beyond any shadow of a doubt. I recommend calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever in this particular plan of God for this age, it goes beyond national boundaries. There's not a particular nation now on earth that can say that we have the corner on God. Now, salvation did come to the Jews first. But tragically, that nation and those representing that nation in places of authority said, we'll not have this man to rule over us. They said to Pilate, whenever he was addressing them about the innocence of the Lord that they had brought before him for trial, they said, his blood be on us and on our children. And that nation has borne some consequences. But from that day forward, salvation coming to the Jew first, Jesus Christ came to his own received him not. Out of them, to as many as received him, them gave you power to become the sons of God. And we've seen that group of people as we read through the Gospels. One here, another there, that would believe on the Lord, take up their cross and follow him. But I present to you that this salvation, the plan of God for this day in which we live, this age, goes beyond national boundaries. Now, lest I be misunderstood, I believe God has blessed this nation extremely well. I don't know of another nation on the planet Earth where you can get the gospel so freely as in the United States of America. I present to you that some of the greatest preachers that have ever lived have come out of the United States of America. I'll not bother to name them. I was privileged to sit under the ministry of some. Some of them are well known, others might not be known, but they're great preachers. And the Word of God is clearly presented in this nation. I hope that it does so until the Lord comes again. But I fear that we are turning away. There is one who's running for a public office that made the statement, this is no longer a Christian nation. Well, I tell you what, I hope that person's proven wrong. I want you to know that I'm thankful that there's a heritage here and that somebody took up the thought of the need of a soul of a boy that would be born up in Park County, Texas and would preach the gospel that was brought to this nation from a people that had believed it, embraced it over in Europe and over in England, and that brought it to the United States of America. I present to you that God is not bound by national boundaries today. Salvation is a worldwide issue. Thank God this salvation, this whosoever, goes beyond racial distinction. I realize that most of us were raised up with some point of prejudice. I always get a little trouble by folks who say, oh, I'm not prejudiced. If you grew up where I did, you'd have been raised with some prejudice. Hopefully we handle them and get over some of them. And I plead before God that we do. I'm not proud of the fact of that. But I want you to know, thank God today, that the gospel is not prejudiced. It will reach a soul of a man, whether he comes out of what we call the dark continent of Africa, or whether he comes from the Far East, or whether he comes here from this melting pot of the world, the United States of America, that God will save that soul, that whosoever, that will call upon the name of the Lord. I present to you that this whosoever goes beyond racial distinction. God can and will save both the king and the pauper and all that are in between. Oh, thank God for a gospel today that can reach sinners in the midst of their need. Oh, this morning, take comfort in this. It'll reach even to you, wherever you might be this morning, this whosoever. Then let's look at that shall call. If you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or rather you're going to call on him, you'll have to believe in him. Let's go back to the Apostle Paul for a moment. What did he say after that tremendous verse 13 in Romans chapter 10? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If you're going to call on the Lord this morning, you're going to have to believe in Jesus Christ. You're going to have to understand who he is. The Apostle Peter on this day is very careful to point out the person he's talking about. What did he say in this text in Acts chapter 2? He said, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified. Well, they know who he's talking about now. They recall in their mind that it's not very many weeks ago that they had by wicked hands taken and crucified Jesus, whom we know to be the Christ now. Pilate asked of the Lord, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he said, "Thou sayest it." And if you understand that wording, what he's saying is, that's the truth. That's who I am. He came as a king. He died as a lamb. He'll stand one day as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but we'll see him as the Lamb slain for us. I present to you this morning, if you're going to call on the Lord, you must believe in the Lord. Not just any old Jesus will do this morning. That one that was born of the Virgin. That one who was raised up in Nazareth. That one who was obedient to his mother and to his, what we'd have to call, I suppose, a foster father. I'm thankful for the man Joseph who stepped in and did what he was supposed to do in the economy of God. But I present to you that if you're going to call on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to understand who he is. And to this people, Peter is saying, this is the same one you crucified. So you'll not be mistaken about it. This is the one that you said, we'll not have this man to rule over us. You saw the Romans take him outside the city of Jerusalem and nail him to a cross. And then there came those two that loved the Lord enough to take down that body and lay it in a grave. But he said, God raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 10 tells us there's two things you have to embrace. Who Jesus Christ is. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. You have to believe, embrace these two truths. Jesus Christ is the very Son of God as he was declared to be and he presented himself as. And that he was crucified and laid in a grave and raised again. If you cannot believe in a crucified Christ and a risen Christ this morning, there'd be no salvation for you. Because that's the one we have to call upon. We must believe in the Lord. And to believe in the Lord, we must hear of Christ. And that's my place. And my privilege this morning to present to you words to be saved by. Someone must tell or preach. And that does not just exclude everybody else but the preacher. Because if you'll tell somebody about Jesus Christ, there'll be somebody believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace him as Savior. But I present to you, that's God's plan for this age, is to say that whosoever that would call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Peter will preach Christ. What do we see about Jesus Christ in this message that Peter preached this day? Well, he points out he was approved of God. He was approved of God. Do you realize that any offering that was ever made, whether it be an Old Testament animal sacrifice, or as we understand it, the New Testament sacrifice of God's own Son, God had to approve it. God would not accept any old lamb when it came to the Passover. God said, you put up that lamb. You evaluate that lamb. See that that lamb is without blemish. And then slay that lamb. I want you to know that Jesus Christ was approved by God the Father. There came a testimony one day to a group of three that had gone with our Lord into the mountain. A cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from that cloud declared, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I present to you that Jesus Christ was approved of God. How do we know it? Because no other man could walk about and do the miracles that he did. And he was approved by the miracles that he performed. He gave the signs at various times. Now there's a little difference in a miracle and a sign. But the signs would come. And sometimes those signs would involve direct Old Testament statements that were fulfilled exactly. Now, a miracle would be a performance of something that was beyond the arts of men. But a sign would come and all of a sudden, say, an Old Testament prophet said this about him and here he is, perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then the wonders, just to put it all together, as we behold him, what a marvelous wonder our Lord Jesus Christ is. One who would come out of the ceaseless ages of eternity, would robe himself in the flesh of a man and walk among men and die as God's Lamb on the cross, be laid in a grave and raised again. man approved of God. How was Christ delivered? Well, he was delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God in verse 23. I present to you a lamb that was planned and purposed. You don't have a superficial salvation. You don't have an afterthought salvation or a stopgap measure salvation. You have a salvation that's infinite and planned in the mind of God. Jesus Christ came into this world with a purpose. He was going to save sinners. If he had not determined to save sinners, you wouldn't be saved. I wouldn't be saved today. Thank God today for a marvelous plan of salvation. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. There has never been another plan. That's God's plan. There never will be another plan. And God's plan is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life this morning. How was it carried out? By the wicked hands of those unbelievers who are willing to perpetrate this particular act upon Him and crucify Him. That's what Peter said. He was delivered by the determined counsel of the Lord of God. You have taken by wicked hands and crucified Him. But God loosed Him from the dead. He loosed the pains of death because death could not hold Him. This is a message this man preached this day to a people. Now, David had prophesied of this. David himself died and is still in a grave. If we knew where, there would be some dust at least left of this King David that once ruled Israel. But David has a hope of the resurrection. He says, I will not leave my soul in hell. And you not let this particular body see corruption. But he was actually speaking prophetically of Christ, but in hope of his own resurrection. Christ was resurrected. And the crucified one is both Lord and Christ and presented today. Words to be saved by. Now the dilemma that is created by this message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. The folks are convicted of sin. They're smitten in their hearts. They didn't know how to handle this. They didn't know what to do. They said, what do we do? And usually that's the cry from a convicted heart. I don't know that you ever voiced it out loud, but down in the depths of your heart when conviction came, you cried out and said, God, what am I going to do? How can I be saved? What is there for me? These folks were convicted. And the question of response is presented. And I present to you that this man, Peter, told them, said, you're going to need to respond. What are they to do? In verse 38, they're to publicly identify with the one that they'd rejected or crucified. Now, some try to reduce salvation down to an ordinance by verse 38, but I tell you what he's really presenting is, he said, you crucified him publicly. You're going to have to publicly identify with him. How do you publicly identify with Jesus Christ? Well, of course, we confess with our mouth, but also one of the best ways is to go into baptismal waters. Be buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. To the Jews of old, they had hope that they could turn a convert aside until they were baptized. But the moment they were baptized, they'd write them off. Why? Because they had publicly identified with one that had been rejected. And that's what Peter's saying. You have to publicly identify with one that was rejected. There's a promise of salvation, and it's far-reaching in verse 39. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The right response is to believe. And you find it in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the rest of this chapter deals with the after effect of a precious personal salvation in Jesus Christ. We come down to a time today. Words to be saved by. Words to be saved by. A message is preached. And I trust that I've made it clear that salvation's in a person. That person is Jesus, whom we know to be the Christ, the very Son of God, born of the Virgin. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, that holy thing born of her, called the Son of God. And we know Him in the Bible as the only begotten of the Father. Now you can be a son of God today, but you'll be brought in another fashion. He's the only begotten of the Father, but He died on an old cross that you might be brought in to the family of God today. You can be saved this morning, and you can know that you're saved. this morning. Oh, it goes out beyond now the confines of Israel. It reaches out to every heart, to every soul, every nationality, every racial distinction today. There's an opportunity of salvation if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Musicians, come. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, it's my joy and privilege to preach today. But it's the opportunity and privilege of this people, if there's a need in a heart and life, to respond today. And I trust that they will, if in that need, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in this place. Honor Him who loved them, died for them, and respond to that invitation of the Holy Spirit, and the invitation of this preacher, and the invitation of this church as it extends to a people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the preciousness of this service today and the glorious truth that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and He is declared to be both Lord and Christ. Thank you for a Savior today. Your will be done, I pray, in this invitation.